Hey guys, welcome to the Self Love Uncensored podcast. I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Amanda. And welcome to today's episode. We are so grateful for you being here with us. And we are on, what are we on? 28?
28. Bananas. I think we
really
say that every day.
Close to hitting 1,000.
We are.
Downloads,
we're like
so
about 50 downloads away from 1,000. So almost at our goal. Yes. Yes,
so if you're so listening good. And you didn't download it, you need to hit download right now.
Please. And thank you. Yes. And all the other 27 episodes, if you haven't already, that'll get us over.
Right?
For sure.
Right?
So good. Well, today's episode, we're kind of doing a fun episode. We are going to answer some questions that have come in from some of you guys. And so I always love doing these. We always do. We end up sitting on here for 20 minutes talking about random shit and make ourselves laugh and don't hit record like we should. So I'm really excited to get into these questions because as we were like bringing them, looking up emails and whatnot in our social media and stuff and going through all the ones that we wanted to answer, some of these are really cool. So I'm really excited. Do you want me to start or do you want me to, how about I ask you the first question? You want to start there?
Okay.
Can you tell we just jumped on and didn't plan this like every other episode we ever do?
Right. Flying by the seat of our pants.
Right. Best way to live.
You don't even know if we're wearing pants because all you can see is our faces.
The perfect. Yeah. That's why we podcast. 100%.
Yep.
All right, Amanda, how did you start your podcast without knowing what to do? So how did we start this?
Well, this is kind of like I feel like we both need to answer this question kind of together because, well, Vanessa podcast proposed first because it was her idea. And I said, yes. And then we just kind of jumped before we really knew what we were doing, right? Like it was end of February. And then, so we talked about it after I said yes. And then we were like, hey, when do we want to start? And we were like, March 1st. Like we didn't hardly even give ourselves time to like think about it long enough to decide not to do it and like talk ourselves out of it. So Vanessa did the research on how to set up. Well, she kind of knew how to set up the feed because she had done an episode before. We decided we were going to use Zoom. So we got the YouTube set up. Like there,
we just figured it out
and went for it. Like it wasn't fancy. We've upgraded some of our equipment now and the way we do things. And like, we have a little bit more of a streamlined and process now, but honestly, we just showed up on Zoom one day and hit record and we decided what day we would post it. And we just went from there.
Yep. And I think the biggest thing, and like we were talking about this a little bit earlier is that, like you said, we didn't give ourselves time to talk ourselves out of it. Yep. Like end of February, I was like, I really want to do another podcast. Amanda, you know, you and I get along really well. It was like, we have, you know, opposing views on a lot of different things, which makes, I think, a perfect podcast host because we can't always, I think people who,
good dynamic.
People who, agree with each other on everything, there isn't as much dialogue. I think like,
or growth, right? Yeah. Like we grow from each other. I think just from hearing each other's different opinions. So,
And that's the thing. And we've set a boundary with each other that, I mean, we're friends in real life. We don't just do this podcast and then not talk to each other. Right. Like, and I think the fact that we both have a mutual respect for each other and each other's opposing opinions on some things makes it a really healthy place to be and be able to learn from each other. But like I said, like we literally were like, well, we're going to do a podcast. What do we do? And it legit was, let's jump on a Zoom. One of the most important things I think that we decided right off the bat was we're not going to edit anything. Like we're not, I don't have the patience and I don't think that editing for us anyways, isn't necessary. So that was one thing I think that made it easy for us that we could just hit record. I figured out really quickly, Google is the best thing you can do as an entrepreneur is to have Google in your back pocket. And we just figured it out and uploaded an episode and that's it. Held our breaths.
The rest is history.
Shit our pants a little bit. Yep. That's it. Yep. And we still only do that. Like we still don't know what we're doing half the time. Yep. Right. Like, there's a couple more things we want to do with the podcast, but we're just not at the place where we want to do the thing yet. And that's okay. We just started. I think that's the most important thing is just start.
Yeah. Yep. Just start. And like, you'll get better and more comfortable with it. Like it was a few episodes. I know we talked about a few episodes ago how like you go back and listen to the beginning ones now and it's like we were so like quiet and like, yeah, like monotoned. And now we're just like, yeah, whatever. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like
fuck shit masturbation. Yeah. 110%. But I mean, I think that speaks to our friendship. Like, I think that speaks to the fact that like, we're super comfortable to be ourselves around each other. And we want people to become like, we want you to come to our podcast and feel like you're having coffee and conversation with us. Right. Like that's how we want you to feel when you're
listening to a script.
No, exactly. Yeah. Scripts are no fun. That's 110%.
Okay. Well, that checks number one off the list. So I will ask you number two. What do people misunderstand about you the most?
Does it go? Can I just say goes without saying? I think, what do people misunderstand about me the most? I think that, and I've had this feedback in my life a couple times in recent years, that people think I'm too happy, or people think I'm too confident, or people think I have like toxic positivity because I'm positive all the time. And I think that that's one of the most misunderstood things about me, is that even though I'm positive 99.9% of the time, I still have my bad days. But also that even when I'm showing up in a positive way, even if I feel like crap, I'm choosing, like even on bad days, I choose really, what am I trying to say here? I'm really careful with how I show up in the world, because I want to spread love and kindness in the world. That is my goal in life. And yes, I have bad days, but on the really hard days, I try and put myself into a positive state of mind and state of love, because that's where I know where I am the best of me. And it's not to say that it's like toxic positivity where I'm always happy and that's like, blah. There's a difference between being happy and positive and being love. I think like, even on my hard days, I don't have to go somewhere and treat someone like shit because I'm having a bad day. You know, like I don't choose to show up in that way. So I think that's one of the most misunderstood things about me, is that I don't live in a state of toxic positivity. I don't live in a state of constant confidence and love and all the things, but I, on those hard days, I choose. Right? Like I let the shittiness land. I give it its space. And typically when I'm having a shitty day, you won't see me. I'm kind of like a bat. I go into my lair when I'm in a shitty mood, because I just don't want to spread that to anybody else. Right? Like and that's the time when I know I have to have deep reflection for myself and work through the thing. And then I show up again when I'm ready. And when I show up again, it's in love. So I think that's one misunderstood thing about me, is I'm not all rainbows and glitter and butterflies. I do have my bad days. I just choose not to show up in the world on those days. And that's fine. That's my personal boundary for showing up on the good days in massive love.
So I think people think it's inauthentic, and it isn't, right? Like, because there are lots of people who fake being happy and being positive and being nice to people, and then turn around and stab you in the back. Right.
Yeah.
And you're not, like, you're genuinely not one of those people. If Vanessa's in a good mood, Vanessa's genuinely in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I have my bad days. Yeah. 100%. Everybody does. How about you? What's the most misunderstood thing you think?
I think probably the most misunderstood thing for me is, and I don't know where it comes from, but I've heard a lot of people think I'm intimidating.
Ooh. Honesty here, tequila. We're going to use the first tequila word here. When we say tequila, it means we have to be totally honest with each other. I can see that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're badass. Not in a negative way whatsoever. Like, no. I not an intimidating, like, don't meet her at a back alley, she'll shank you kind of way. But like intimidating and like watching you go after your goals, and like you say you're going to do something and you fucking do it. Like that, in the nicest complimenty way, you're a little intimidating. You intimidate me. So I don't want to ever work out with you in a gym. We'll just put it that way. You're a fucking beast.
That's funny. Yeah, no. And it's been that way. Like, I've heard lots of people say that, like, not just recently and in that kind of an environment. So, which is really funny, because like, I'm not like a big person, like I'm short as fucking hell. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. Like I don't intentionally try to give off that energy of like, I'm better than you kind of thing. Right. Yeah,
no.
So yeah, I, it's come up for me recently with people. So that's definitely like forefront of my mind that I've been told that. But then when you get to know me, I don't think I'm that way at all. So,
right. It's so funny. You have an epic resting bitch face, by the way. Like,
yeah,
epic.
Apparently I do. I do not mean to. I just get
none really of us
focused,
do.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And it's so funny when we do live events and stuff and we stand on the, you know, the edge of the room and we're watching all the attendees do the work and stuff. And we like look around at people and it's just like, you know, the person, but then you see like their resting bitch face and it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
she's
always
secretly
so funny.
Judging somebody right,
right?
now.
She's secretly plotting to kill somebody. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right. And I think that intimidation can be healthy. Like, I don't think that it's a negative all the time. I think like to be intimidated by your own potential and stuff can be a really good thing. Like I said, totally. And yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be a huge compliment. If someone was like, you intimidate me, I'd be like, fucking A. Perfect.
What a go. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And I think intimidation maybe in a strength sense, like in that like scary sense, you don't intimidate me in that way. You intimidate me in a way that like I said, strength. Yes. Cause you're a fucking beast. Like if you've seen Amanda's freaking TikToks and reels lately, she's like dead. I don't know what the exercises are when you lift all that weight, but it's like the weight I'm on, like my body weight is on each side of your bars. Like it's bananas to me. And I'm like bitching over my 5 pound weights. I'm bench pressing. Like you're a fucking beast. But I think too, like you're intimidating in the sense that you're really good at what you do. And when you say you're going to do something, you fucking do it. Right. Yeah. And I think that that's a really good, I think it's a compliment depending on how you're hearing it from people that if you're that's intimidating in that way, I think that's a really good compliment because it shows that you made a promise to yourself and you're fucking showing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Like most people don't do
and
that.
And I try to not worry about what other people think, right? Like stay in my own lane and like,
yes,
you know, like, and it's never in that regard, it's never me trying to like be better than somebody else.
No.
Say like, I might use other people as motivation. Like, oh, I know this person can lift this much. Like it'd be fucking cool if I could beat that person. Right. Like there's people I look up to that I would love to surpass. Mm-hmm. But it's always me against me.
So. 100%. It's always me against me. 110%. Yeah. That's 110%. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's I don't know. I think I would take it as a compliment. 100%.
Well, I'm glad we had this conversation because I feel better about it.
Right? Oh my gosh. So number three, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I feel like we're both going to answer this the same way. I feel like I'm an introverted extrovert because like there's like totally times where I could give two fucks if I talk to people or like I do retreat and I like won't engage with people, even if it's people that I know. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. Like sometimes you just don't feel like you have it to give, or there's situations where like you do get shy. Like if you show up and there's nobody there that you know, like that's uncomfortable pretty much no matter who you are.
Yeah.
But I can definitely be extroverted too and just go totally outside of my comfort zone and like adapt into a situation and be who I need to be in that situation. So I think I'm definitely a healthy dose of both.
I would say the same thing. And I always thought that I was just extroverted. Like growing up, I always thought I was introverted because I was super quiet and shy.
Yeah.
But I also was living through a time that I needed to just not engage with people. But definitely as I've got more confident, I've figured out I'm 110% an extrovert, like through and through, but then I'm the same way. Like, especially when we do live events and stuff like that shit, it like brings life to me. Some people will go into a live event and they're like drained afterwards. Right. And it's like, I can go 14 hours at a live event day and sustain myself off a cup of water and a sandwich. And I have more energy at the end of the day because I just love the energy. But then at the end of it, I definitely need a day or two to like shut down, not see humans and just recharge my batteries. Right. So I'm 110% an introverted extrovert.
Yeah.
More extroverted though. If I had to tip the scales, I'd definitely be more extroverted, but a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. I think it really shows up too, especially in like public speaking situations. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like you can tell if you're both, if you get nervous before you go out because you're worried about yep. what everybody's going to think. But then when you get out there, you're like, fuck, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Like you yep. find your groove. So you're introverted before you get on stage. You're like, mm-hmm. fuck, I just want to go be by myself and not be in front of all these right? people. And then once you're out there, you're like, oh my God, I love all these people staring yeah. at me, listening to everything I'm saying. Right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because I was saying that to somebody that came into the store a couple of days ago, and we were talking about like what we did before the pandemic and all the things. And I was like, yeah, I used to do public speaking. I still do, but I mean, it's been 18 months because of the pandemic, but I had said yeah. like, I do public speaking, and she was like, oh my God, I could never. I was like, same thing. From the moment that they start to say your bio to the moment that they say your name, I am shitting my pants. I'm like, yeah. I'm already outside the exit. I haven't entered the room yet. No one has seen me. Like, I can get out of here. No one will even know. And then the walk to the stage is like my form of torture, other than Pilates that I did this morning, my form of torture, because everyone is staring, right? Yeah. Like, you're getting the head dodges of people, like trying to look around other people to see you. And it's like, for me, it's almost triggering, because that's a little bit of my childhood, but in a different way. So that for me is a little bit triggering. But then as soon as you put a microphone in my hand and I step up on stage, I feel like I'm at home. Like, it's the only way I can explain it. Like, I'm the most comfortable standing on stage with a microphone in my hand in front of 1,000 people, more than like the more amount of people, the more comfortable I am.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, for me, most people are like, nope. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know, let's do it again. Do I have to get off stage now, or give me more time? I always go over in time. I'm horrible for that. And it's never, I never mean to, but I always try and give so much more and more and more. Right. So
yes.
Yeah. Stage is home for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss it terribly.
Oh, okay. Next question. What's your favorite productivity hack for entrepreneurs?
Scheduling my time. Scheduling my time, 110%. Making a to-do list. And we do this with our coaching clients and such, and at Transformation Weekend and everything. And time management, 110% is, I think, the best productivity hack for entrepreneurs, because there's a couple different ways you can do it. But for me to be able to make a list the morning of, or the night before, or the week before, or whatever, of what I have to get done during the day, and then only focusing on those things, really helps calm all the rest of the week out of my brain. And it actually makes me super productive. There's lots of different ways that we teach this, or a couple different ways that we teach this that has lots of different aspects to it and stuff. But once you figure out what works for you, holy man, it's like the golden ticket. 110%. Yeah. Manage your time, have massive boundaries around it. Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Mine's pretty much the same, but just slightly different. Still time management, but I would say, like, especially as a mom with 3 kids, and I'm mm-hmm. constantly running around and like have a lot on the go, and a lot of time that like I have to be able to adapt to things that I have to get done that have nothing to do with working.
Yeah.
I would say learn how to use your wasted time. So like when I'm my most productive, like if I'm waiting to pick up my kids, I'm intaking like podcasts or audiobooks, or maybe I have a mm-hmm. book with me and I'm reading like a personal development book. Anything like that, anything where you have like otherwise wasted space. Like, there's so mm-hmm. much, everybody always uses that excuse. Well, I don't have time. Like, oh, mm-hmm. it must be nice to have time. No, you have the same amount of time that anybody else does in a day. Yeah. It's just how you use it. And I guarantee you that you have probably more than you realize of wasted time in a day, time where you're sitting and waiting for something. Time where you're like, say even, one of my favorite times, if I can't get in reading, mm-hmm. While I'm prepping my food for supper or whatever, I'll have an audiobook or a podcast going. So I'm mm-hmm. absorbing information and I'm learning while I'm doing something else, right? Like I might miss bits and pieces, but I could choose music or I could choose to learn and grow. And like the odd time, if my mind is way overworked, I'll pick music, but 9 times out of 10, I'm listening to something so that I'm still able to get in all the things that I want to do without having to say, find an extra hour in my day specifically to be like, okay, from 1 to 2, then I'll work. Well, no, if I'm sitting at the school for 20 minutes, I have time to answer emails. I have time to make a couple phone calls. I have time to check in on this or check in on that. Right. So just find that wasted time in a day and use that productively. And then you won't even have to carve out extra time.
Totally. 110%. I agree. 110%. I did not see this question. You must have wrote this one down. Oh, how did you
meet? This was probably during your very entertaining story that you were telling me that I'm sure everybody would love to hear about.
Oh my God.
How did you meet your spouse / significant other? How did you meet your hubby?
We met online.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we met online in 2006, I think it was.
Okay.
I remember. Yeah, like about there. I used to drive pilot truck in the oil field. So my life was like chaotic. I was on call 24/7. I worked a shit ton. I was hardly ever in town. And if I was, it was like to sleep for a few hours and then go back to work. So I didn't have the luxury of like going out to the bar to meet people or anything like that. And it's kind of when like online dating was like just kind of becoming a thing. Like, I don't even think like Plenty of Fish existed when I first did it, which is like probably really like, it probably doesn't even exist anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met on online and talked for quite a while, just on there. And then he actually stood me up twice. So I always tell him how fucking lucky he is that he even got to be here. So he'll be listening to this, I'm sure, and laughing, but yeah, he stood me up twice and then we finally met at the movie theater and then we were just really good friends for a while. And then I needed a place to move and I moved in to his apartment before we even started dating. And then we decided to start dating and it's been downhill ever since.
Nice. I love it. Uphill.
Both hills. Yeah. Uphills and downhills.
I think that sums up marriage really well. Uphill and downhill. Right. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I had no idea about that.
Right. Most people don't.
Right. I think that's so cool. I met Greg when I was 17 and I met him through friends. So my old friend and his old friend were dating at the time. And then we just kind of were hanging out because we were part of the group of all the people that were getting together because of our mutual friends. Yeah. And yeah, I was 17 and crazy. And in my whole party, my little blip of partying and all the things. And I asked him out, actually. I don't think he'll ever, I don't think he'll ever admit to this, but I totally asked him out. Sitting in the car out on the driveway in front of my mom and my dad's house, I was like, so you'll be my boyfriend. And he was like, I probably sounded much better than that, but he was like, okay. And then I found out that after that, he went out for the night with his other friends and met up with other girls at Earl's that night. But nothing ever happened for what I know. But yeah, I was like, he was 20 and I was 17 and yeah, dropped me off and then went out and partied with a bunch of other people afterwards. And I found out about this shortly after, but from what I know, funny. It is what it is. Young and dumb, right? Like
what's meant to be will be.
110%. And yeah, ups and downs. Oh God. If my best friend Jack is listening to this, she's going to be like, fucking amen. Like she knows there's been lots of ups and downs, but I think that like, it's hard because a lot of times I think like, we've grown up together and the people that we were 20 years ago, like I thought about that the other day, we've been together for 20 years. Like that's a lifetime together that we've grown up together. And I think now is the hardest time because we're, I shouldn't say we, I struggle with like, we're different people than we were before. So to like grow up and sometimes we grow apart and then we come back together and then we grow apart a little bit more like, yeah, my best friend's going to be laughing because she's always the one that I call and I'm like, ah! Or I'm like, I love him. I hate him. I love him. I hate him. You know, like, it's so hard to be, to grow up with somebody and not really know, I think, who you are at that young age. And then to be still together, I think is, he drives me crazy, but I do love him deep down. He isn't a speed bump out on the road yet. So he's still okay.
That's right.
He's not in the garden. It's all good. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Last question. last question, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. Do you want me to ask you this, or do you want me to ask, or do you want to ask me this?
I don't care.
Okay. I'll ask you this. I think we're probably going to have the same, but oh, you were wrong. You couldn't, the answer you gave before, you couldn't answer. So now you got to think of a new one.
I know. Okay. Next time I'm hiding this question from you.
Well, this is really cool. I don't know who you, you're the one who dug this one out of our questions that we've been asked.
I'm sure it was inspired from the duck horse question from the last time we did this. So the
goose horse or whatever. That's right. Okay. Yes. So whoever sent us this, thank you and damn you, because this is so random. Okay. So you've been given an elephant. Okay. You cannot sell it or give it away. What would you do with your elephant?
Hey, and this is the problem I have that we discussed before. We live where it's really cold and elephants are really big, and my house is like, I don't even have a door it would fit in. So like, I can't keep it. I don't understand what I'm supposed to. But no, he's going to freeze to death. Well, you get to like minus 50.
Well, then you have to build him a barn.
Where? I live in town.
In your backyard. Put him in your garage.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm hopefully going to get it during summer. I'm going to sell my house and buy a farm and build like an airplane hangar to keep the fucking elephant inside of.
100%. Absolutely.
And then I'll ride it whenever I want to.
I was just going to say, that's all I would do is I'd ride it and be like, I have a fucking elephant. I would ride it everywhere.
Buy some really old farming equipment, and instead of it being horse powered, it would be elephant powered.
Put it to work. Uh-huh.
I'd offer like, what the fuck is going on over there?
I'd offer rides on it. People could come over and pay me like $1 to ride my elephant, make some money off of it.
That's like animal abuse.
No.
Nowadays.
Depending.
Probably so is working it in the field, but.
Totally. Plowing. Just taking my elephant for a plow.
Yeah.
Oh, that came
up. I'm planting my corn.
So now what would you name your elephant?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to see it. You can't pick a name without seeing an elephant.
Yeah, you can. Dumbo. No. 110%. Mine would be Dumbo.
That's too cliche.
Mm-mm. Mine would be Dumbo.
Okay. Mine will be 100%. Smarty then, so that he's the opposite of yours. Yours
will be Dumbo. I went to chocolate. I was like, Smarties are delicious. That's a great name.
We're not those eating the elephant, Vanessa.
Oh, this just took a sharp left turn. Holy man. Yeah, we'd kill it and eat it. No. Oh, no. Man. I wonder if you can eat elephant. Actual question. I'm
pretty sure you could eat anything if you needed to.
Probably. Yeah. Poor Dumbo. Oh. That's a
lot. Anyways, that was fun. Here's a great spot to leave everybody until next week.
So good.
We'll leave you all so with funny. Something to think of. If you were given an elephant and you can't give it away or sell it, what would you do with the elephant? Mm-hmm.
Make money off of it.
Yeah.
Pay off some debt. Yep.
Right.
Ride it. Yep. 110%. That's what I would do. He could live in my garage. He'd be fine.
Are you going to keep him with the goose-sized horses or the horse-sized goose?
Goose-sized horses.
See, there's a question.
I don't
know. Would the elephant win against a horse-sized goose, or would the goose win?
A horse-sized goose. I think the elephant would win.
I think so. They're not great. Well, I guess geese are mean.
Yeah, elephants can kill
people.
That
could be a pretty epic fight, though.
Right?
You could definitely make money selling pay-per-view for that.
Fight club with barn animals. Oh my god, that'd be so awful.
It'll be UEC instead of UFC, the ultimate elephant club. Somebody take that business idea and run with it.
This is what happens before we hit record, is we start talking and random shit comes out of our mouths and we end up laughing till we're crying. And yeah, this is a really great, I like, look into behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Random shit like this that just,
so anyways. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Hopefully you had fun on this episode. Thank you for everybody that sent in questions. If you are listening and you have some, by all means, send them in to us on our social or email selfloveuncensored@gmail.com. And we collect them. And then once we have enough, we will run an episode, and it's a really nice break for us. So we really appreciate them not always having to do the the heavy and the hard topics, right? And getting to have a little laugh here and there. So please hit subscribe. New episodes drop on Monday. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and see us on YouTube. And I already gave you the email. So until next time.
Have a good day, friends. Bye.
Bye.